And thank you, ladies, for all of your help tonight in the song service. Appreciate that so very much. All right, take your Bibles tonight. We're going to open up to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs tonight will be our source text. Now, many of you know that I work my other full-time job over in Winooski, and our company was bought out some year and a half ago. One of the first things that the management team did was to use a tagline kind of a phrase about transitioning the buyout to ease the concerns that we would all be out of a job. Of course, anytime that one company buys another one, the company that gets bought, they all worry, am I still going to have a job? And so they tried to quell all of these kind of fears, and they did a pretty good job of it with this phrase, onward and upward. That was the phrase, that was the tagline that they kind of introduced, giving an indication that our expectation as employees should be that we will simply continue on in our work, moving forward and making gains and positive changes to meet the challenge ahead, or the many challenges ahead. So, tonight, I've actually used that same phrase, so it's not mine, it's not original, but I've used that same phrase as our title tonight, Onward and Upward. It's that phrase, that concept, that thought process, because I believe that we, as believers, excuse me, who face many, many challenges every day, challenges that are both physical and emotional and financial, but also we face spiritual challenges every single day. And I believe that we need a regular dose of encouragement and refocusing upon God's counsel to revive us and to keep us going, to keep us afloat, as it were, rather than taking on water from all the storms around us and sinking. So really what I'm talking about tonight, I'm speaking of having our perseverance bolstered and strengthened, because I believe we all know just how easily we can be distracted and derailed. No one's ever experienced that, have you? There's just all of a sudden, how did I get here? I don't even know. What just happened? I don't know. But I believe also that our Savior, having experienced this life that we live, knows exactly the challenges that we face. In fact, Luke's gospel records a record for us, it preserves for us what Jesus said to Peter in chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. He said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. So between that example and God's word found in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, which reads, wherefore he, that is Jesus, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that cometh to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So we have a Savior who prays always for us. We have a Savior who is interceding on our behalf to bolster our perseverance. So we can take this first sip of refreshment. Maybe I'm just using all kinds of analogies here tonight. We'll take this first sip of refreshment because Jesus is always on our side, ready to lift us up from whatever muck or mess we might find ourselves in, no matter how deep the muck, or even how shallow and seemingly insignificant the mess might be. I submit to you that no matter how shallow or insignificant your mess might seem, it is a dire need to be lifted out of that nonetheless. Because any time you have spent mud season in Vermont or anywhere else, you know that as soon as you hit the mud, it can suck you in just quicker than you can blink an eye. So, there we are tonight. Even though it may be insignificant, Jesus is always there ready to lift us up out of that seemingly insignificant mess. Find your way then in our text, Proverbs chapter number 4, if you would, please. Proverbs chapter number 4 will be our source text, and find your way, if you would, down to verse number 20, reading through the end of the chapter. It's a very familiar passage, I'm sure. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 begins, it says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, as we look to this message tonight, onward and upward, Lord God, we surely need to be strengthened and to be lifted up in this area of perseverance. Lord, in this day and age, we don't even need to discuss just how badly we need to persevere in the society in which we live. But Father, you have us here. It was no mistake that we were put here, that we were placed here, that we were born in the time that we were born in. It's no mistake that our society is the way it is. But God, you have us here. So Lord, won't you strengthen us tonight, encourage us tonight, and help us to indeed persevere with joy and with a positive outlook, knowing that you've already won the war, knowing that you are right there to help us and to lift us up if we need it and when we need it, for surely we will. God, help us tonight to, by opening our understanding, help us tonight to look to your word for the encouragement that we might need even this night. I don't know what might be happening in anyone's life here, but God, you know all about it. Lord Jesus, you've walked these streets. You've walked this earth. You've walked through the temptations that we face. You've walked through the emotions. You understand. God, help us tonight. May your will be accomplished. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I suppose, let's see, I suppose when I think of perseverance, I'm sure that you've heard messages on perseverance from time to time in the past, but I suppose when I think about this topic of perseverance, a couple of illustrations might come to mind. Most of us, probably all of us here, remember some stories a long, long time ago called Aesop's Fables? Oh, some of us do, for sure. Well, there was an Aesop fable about a tortoise and a hare. Yeah. The tortoise, of course, wins the race because the tortoise was focused, knowing that it wasn't fast, so it could not afford to let anything deter or distract it from the task at hand. While the hare, on the other hand, knowing that it had the speed to make up some time, he'll run ahead and then he'll take a little rest. And he might go off and do something else. And then he'll run ahead, he'll maybe catch up, and he'll run ahead and he'll stop and he'll rest and he'll go and smell the flowers or maybe eat a carrot. I don't know what the hare was doing. But he just knew that he had the speed, he could catch up, and he had no worries. Well, he got all kinds of distracted, and he ultimately lost the race because he did not keep focus on the task at hand. Another illustration might be sailing. Anybody ever do any sailing? I've never sailed a day in my life, but I've heard about it. I've read some things about it. I've seen it on TV and all those sorts of things. Sailing would be an illustration. Oh, now, think of this, if you would. You're in a sailboat. You got no motor. You are completely relying on the wind. And where you have to go across the lake is exactly where the headwind is coming from. How's that going to work? Well, there is no way to move directly forward in that case. So the captain of the boat, he must angle that sailboat a little bit so that the wind pushes against the sail and actually tries to push the boat sideways. But then, because the keel that's underneath the water is pushing against the water, when it pushes it sideways, it actually makes the boat go forward into the wind. It's the craziest thing, but it works. Or there's the example of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul used the example about running a race with patience. There may be times when we must make only slow but deliberate forward progress rather than fast gains in our spiritual lives. It is a lifelong race, and we cannot expect to just sprint the entire lifelong race and make it to the end. There are going to be times and situations that are going to bog us down. We're going to get stuck in the mud in Vermont. But as long as we keep making slow and deliberate movement forward, we are making progress. Now, I believe what Solomon has recorded here in the book of Proverbs is the fundamental engine, if you will, for those slower and more deliberate gains. As Solomon recalls the teaching that he received as a boy, because that's the way this whole chapter starts out, it was him recalling what he learned from his father and from his parents, we can also, I believe, receive this chapter and this passage as words of instruction from our own Heavenly Father, because we are, well, children of the King. Now, we know that Solomon, because he asked God for wisdom to execute his office as king, he was granted by God that wisdom such that there never was, nor will there ever be, as wise a natural man on the earth again. Thus, the wisdom that we're given here in Solomon's writings ultimately is wisdom directly from God. He writes, in this first portion in verse number 20 and so forth, he wrote to us this way. I'll paraphrase it. He said, hey, listen, pay attention to what I'm saying. Hello, are you listening? He says, the things that I'm about to tell you are what will help you to succeed, even if you have to put blinders on so that you don't get distracted but can focus exactly on what I'm going to tell you. Read again verse 20 through 22. The Bible says here, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Pay attention to what I'm about to tell you, because it's the only way you're going to get through those times when it really, really needs perseverance. That's an interesting word, perseverance. I looked at that one time and I thought, is that kind of a mashup of some words? Because it kind of looks like it. And if I do that, then it's a mashup of persevere occurrence. Perseverance. That's not really where it came from. But I like to think of it that way, because that's exactly what the word means, is you have to get through, you persevere whatever might be coming your way. Now, these next things that we're told are those things that will get us through the hardest part of our life's race. But friends, here's the good part. They will also keep us from getting distracted like the fabled hare when things seem to be going easy. Because if we maintain our focus, then we'll not be so easily distracted and go off and take our little rest. We're just going to take a break for a few minutes. We're going to go off and do something else and get distracted, and then all of a sudden we're behind. So following these fundamentals will help us then as well. These next five verses, by the way, you guys remember the children's song, Oh, Be Careful, Little Eyes? Yeah, there's all kinds of verses to that fun little song. It's a great little song. You know what it is. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, right? Yeah, we all know that. So look at the next four or five verses here. Verse 23. Verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The children's song says, be careful, little heart, whom you trust. Well, be careful, little heart, whom you trust. That's exactly what he's saying right here. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Verse 24, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, that's what this says. It says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Verse 25, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Verse 25 says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. And 26 and 27, they kind of go together. It says, be careful, little feet, where you go. And it kind of goes hand in hand with, be careful, little hands, what you do. Right? Look at verses 26 and 27. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So this little passage right here, that's maybe our grown-up version of Be Careful Little Hands. I like the grown-up version. I like the kid's song too. Who am I kidding? I like the kid's song. Keep thy heart with all diligence, as this passage starts out in verse 23. What does that mean? We all probably know what that means, do we not? But let's review it. What does that mean? Keep thy heart with all diligence. It means to guard or to protect our heart, our conscience, our thought process, our understandings. Protect all of that as with an armed guard, because it is that important. We cannot let anything that opposes God's word, the truth, to enter into our thought processes. We cannot let anything that opposes God's truth to enter into our logical reasoning or our understanding, as it will corrupt little by little and ultimately destroy us. And that's the very process that we spoke of in the adult Sunday school class here the last couple of weeks. If you were in the adult Sunday school class, you know what I'm talking about. We spoke of a good conscience, void of offense toward God and toward man. This process that we're talking about here, with if we let things into our heart that'll corrupt us, the process is that our good conscience degenerates into a defiled conscience. And then it gets worse and it degenerates further into an evil conscience. And then it can even go one step further, denigrating into a seared conscience, which is devoid of all feeling, devoid of all understanding, of all reason, of all emotion. It's absolutely insensitive to everything. You see, letting something into our hearts, our thought processes, our understanding, will ultimately destroy us and destroy our testimony. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. The Bible tells us there. Well, let's turn over there. We've got some time, so let's turn over there. I don't want to just rush through all of this. I know we've got a number of things to be praying about as well, but 2 Timothy chapter 2, hold your finger in Proverbs 4, we'll be back there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 16. This is exactly what Proverbs is telling us. Verse 16 says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker." Oh my word, what is a canker? The canker that he's referring to here? I hope you've got a strong constitution, because the canker that he's talking about is like a gangrenous ulcer. Vain babblings and debates. Their word will eat as a cankerous, gangrenous ulcer. You see, these words that Solomon writes, he says they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. So we must protect, as with an armed guard, our heart. Let's look for a moment at just how important this life provision is to God. Turn back to the book of Genesis very quickly with me, just for one moment. God preserves and protects this matter of life as well. Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, we understand the account there, but verse 24 says, "So he," that's God, "drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." It's that important that we keep our heart with all diligence, the words that were taught in Proverbs, the wisdom of God, and guard it as with a cherubim, with a flaming sword that turns every direction. We have to be that diligent about this. It's the kind of diligence that we are to persevere with. Our text then goes on to say, it is out of this same heart that we're supposed to keep that come the issues of life that we must contend with. So he says in verse 24, "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." Now, put away, that is it's to be absolutely purposeful to always prevent rash speaking, rash responses, outbursts, especially of things that will denigrate others, things that will harm and hurt others. And the verse says, put far from thee perverse lips. The put far from thee is the idea that we don't try to use some alternative word. It says, perverse lips, put far from thee. Don't try to use some alternate word that isn't considered vulgar. That's not the way. It's supposed to be a complete change in our communication. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Do you know what it says? It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So he says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Don't try to find some nicer, kinder, gentler way of retorting with a nasty comment. Remember, we've been talking recently and in the whole series with the successful Christian life that there's people watching always. And I'm going to tell you right now that those that are not saved can see right through the Christian who claims to be a Christian and uses alternative phrasing to mask what they're trying to say. It'll eat as doth a canker. It will destroy us and our testimony and completely render ineffective any witness that we might have to someone who needs to hear the words of life that we have within us. Then we find, as we get ready to close, actually, this portion of our service, verse 25 says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. See, this is what I was talking about earlier. If you have to, put the blinders on so that you're not distracted with everything around you. Now, we know, of course, from Peter's encounter with Christ on Galilee. You know the account. We know exactly what happens when we lose our focus on the person of Christ. When we get distracted by the surrounding tumult or the tempest or the storms or the environment around us, all of the things that are going on around us that tend to pull us this way and that way and take away our focus from being Christ-like in our walk. At that point, when we get distracted, we can no longer accomplish the great things that God would enable us to do, because now we, like Peter, are looking for the hand of the Savior just to save us from sinking. Lord, save me. Oh, God, help me, because I just messed up. Well, that takes time away from God. Who would you have me to go speak to? Lastly tonight, verses 26 and 27. We'll have plenty of time for our prayer time. Verses 26 and 27, the Bible once again here says, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Now, I know Pastor's at home, and he's not able to be with us tonight, so here's one for Pastor.
The imperative command here... I got you. The imperative command here is to pause... He's going to text me. He's going to say, just preach, just stop. Anyway, the command here is to pause and to consider and plan and prepare. The word is ponder. Take a moment. Don't just leap into the fire. Don't just leap off the edge of the cliff. Hold on just a moment. Ponder, plan, and prepare what you're going to do next. It says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. It's not so much about considering and worrying and lamenting about, boy, did I make a difference in this world with who I was and how I acted? I wonder what kind of a difference I can make in someone else's life. It's not about any of that at all. And it's not even about under the guise of, God, what can you have me to do that's going to make a difference in somebody's life? Because it's still all focused on what can I do. That's not what God would have us to consider.
That sentiment is rooted in what I did or what I might do yet. And that is not what we're called for. It's so much more about 1 Corinthians 10:31, which says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Not what difference can I make. What can I tell you how God has affected my life and how God has worked in my life? Because God is the one that gets the glory. It's also about Colossians 3:17, a very similar verse. It says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. It's not about what kind of a difference can I make in someone's life. What kind of a difference, what can I do for God? It's more about, God, what would you have me to do? And I don't know how to do it, but God, if I'm willing. I know that God is able. And God, show me how to do what you want me to do. You see, I believe that using these fundamentals, reviewing them one more time, we know what they are. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee, and ponder, prepare, consider the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the left, not to the right. Now, it's not talking about the sailboat going left and going right into the wind. That's not at all what it's talking about, because the Bible says, whatever we do, so whatever job it is that you have, wherever you go, whatever state you move to, whatever country you move to, whatever it is that you do in life, as long as the focus is on what God would have me to do. Turn not to the right nor to the left from God's plan. And it says, remove thy foot from evil. Using these fundamentals, friends, it will cause the onward and the upward growth through perseverance. And it will cause that growth to be the strongest and most unshakable growth of our faith. Reflecting Jesus' own words to Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. How is our faith tonight? Is it shakable? Are we persevering tonight? Whether it's pandemic stragglers, whether it's economic woes. Oh boy, I tell you what, economic woes. Whether it's finances, whether it's health, whatever it is, are we persevering? And is our faith shaken? Or are we holding to and clinging to the fundamentals in the slow and deliberate forward movement in our life? Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate God for that. Let's close the service in a word of prayer, and then we'll get to our prayer time. Father in heaven, as we consider this passage of Scripture, Lord God, I'd ask that you would give us understanding tonight. Lord, it wasn't a long message, and yet, Father, it's so important. And Lord, we know these principles. We know these commands, but God, how often do we behave to their contrary? Lord God, help us tonight. As we go into our prayer time, we'll come before you corporately. We'll come before you in small groups. We'll come before you, Lord, with many, many petitions. Give us, Lord, the confidence and the faith in you to go forward from this place tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Does everybody have a prayer card here tonight?